This is Unsocial Spectators with Clay Harrison and Mark Ramsey.
And you can find us at unsocialspectators.com and also at unspectators on Twitter. Welcome to episode 34 of Unsocial Spectators. Hello, hello.
Hey. Hey now. How's it going, man?
Well, I'm cool, finally.
You got your AC fixed? That's awesome.
Yeah, and I realized it hadn't been working for years, right, you know, because the rest of the house is now cool. It wouldn't cool down. And it was like it would cool, but it would only cool to like 84 sometimes. And, you know, it's like a whole different air conditioner now. Out 84.
So you have an upstairs and a downstairs?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it, because I have that problem because my thermostat's upstairs and I have it set to 80. And it could never cool the downstairs.
No, but it was $8,400.
Fuck.
I had to get the one outside and the one in the attic replaced.
Oh, wow. That's fucking... Oh, but for two, that's not bad, though. For two AC units, that's not bad at all.
We had to get it replaced by 2025 anyways because it was one of the old Freon units. And
that's what I have.
They're not going to sell Freon in 2025. You have to get it replaced.
Fucking hell, really.
That's a lot.
I had a guy out twice and he didn't even mention that.
Well, that's the law, so.
It's going to be like in the movie Brazil. I'm going to have to find a rogue air conditioner repairman to show up at my house to add Freon.
Yeah, good luck.
Fuck, that's not what I want to hear.
Well, I'm glad I told you before 2025.
Yeah, I don't see much changing for me. I'm sure I'll still be here in this house.
So the air conditioner was the original one, so it was 32 years old.
Damn.
You know?
Yeah, this house was built in the 80s, and this is the original interior unit, but the exterior, I got replaced, I think, in 2002.
Okay.
But yeah, it's all Freon. It gets clogged up because the runoff in it, like, you know, rusts some of the parts. And so that falls down there. Sure. So I constantly have to have it blown out. And welcome to AC Repair with Mark and Clay.
Oh, yeah. And we need to change the name of the podcast to Blow You.
Stay Cool with Mark and Clay.
Yeah. So we talked about, we're going to talk about films, our films from 1989. What did you, want to talk about?
Well, I got to see Nope.
Oh.
Have you seen Nope yet?
Nope. Was that from 89?
No, I was just going to go through films that I had been watching.
Oh.
But if you want to start in 89,
yeah,
we
always start with the movies of that year, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm very medicated right now.
No, good for you.
Well, not the best. It's just my back's fucked up. But I watched Twister from 1989, which was a weird film that I saw because I thought, well, that's not the Twister movie with Helen Hunt and all the cool flying cows and shit.
Uh-huh.
This was a Crispin Glover, Harry Dean Stanton drama.
Huh.
And it is peak Crispin Glover, my dude. Oh, my God. He wears like a couple of velvet suits in this. He has a Prince Valiant haircut and he's just so fucking extreme and weird that I want to believe this is like his prequel, his character's prequel from Charlie's Angels.
Oh, okay.
but it's just about a family, like a Southern family that all are fucked up and have weird issues, alcoholism, trust issues. They have too much money. The kids are, you know, obviously just kind of want to fuck off and do whatever they want. Uh-huh. And then they're trapped in a house when a tornado hits. And, you know, I really could have done without watching it because it was just kind of a slow burn. It wasn't that great. It had Jenny Wright in it, who was in that movie you gave me, Gone Wild. Mm-hmm. The and I, whatever happened to her, man? Like, she did like a lot of fucking 80s movies, and I thought she'd like kind of break out, but
Gone Wild, what do you mean?
I mean, remember the movie with Leah Thompson, Eric Stoltz? It had it has a great soundtrack from the 80s.
Oh yeah. Is that Wild?
Shit, I'm looking it up right now.
I have
The Wildlife.
Yeah,
from Wildlife. 1980.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah, so she was in this. She's the girlfriend to Crispin Glover. And then, like, Tim Robbins shows up for, like, 3 minutes at the end of the movie to play a role. And that's, I think, like, his second role since starring in Howard the Duck in 1986. So it was weird because he shows up for 3 minutes. He gets into a fight with Dermot Mulroney and then leaves.
Well, he'd been in Full Metal Jacket, hadn't he?
Oh, yeah. I forgot he was like, he wasn't like a lead character, but he was like one of the soldiers.
Yeah, I think so.
That's right. Okay, well, I was wrong there. I also watched Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm still on my skateboarding shit. And Shelby said, this is a very boring skateboarding movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it. So I wasn't into skateboarding.
Well, it was a neo-noir. It's Crispin Glover. Christian Slater is a skateboarder who has an adoptive brother who's Vietnamese. And he gets involved in some smuggling, or he discovers that there's some people that are stealing money from this place and gets killed for his knowledge. And Christian Slater goes and tries to investigate it. And in between investigating it, he skateboards.
Oh, okay.
And it co-stars like Tony Hawk. Like, he's like in the movie as a friend, has a speaking role. And they have like this big scene at the end where all the skateboarders come over the hill. And for some reason, but they're all like part of the Bones Brigade, which was a big skateboarding crew back in the day. And Tony Hawk is, for some reason, they didn't put him on a board. He's driving a Pizza Hut delivery truck.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
But my favorite fact I found from the film was at the end, there's a big chase on the highway where Christian Slater grabs a hold of this Corvette and holds on while this guy drives on the freeway. And yeah, I know. It's so weird. But like, we kept wanting for more skateboarding shit. And so this was it. And the guy who was driving the Corvette is a big time stuntman who had a movie done about his life called Hooper. With Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
So he was like this wild-ass stuntman who they kind of elevated his story in Hooper. But Hooper is a great fucking movie about like just the craziness of the 70s and wild-ass stunts and the people who did them. And it was about this guy who's in the movie.
Yeah. So for 89, I want to talk about UHF.
Yes, I love this fucking movie.
I found such a great cast. Of course, Weird Al. Fran Drescher.
Perfect.
Michael Richards before Seinfeld.
Yes, and playing just the most. Imagine if that was like the character that stuck with him for the rest of his career instead of Kramer.
Yeah. Billy Barty.
The great Billy Barty.
Yeah, my father used to make hair pieces for Billibari.
Oh, do you have any photos?
No.
Oh, god damn, I want to see you. No. Oh, man, that's awesome, though.
No, I remember meeting him, though, when I was a kid.
Oh, that is cool. He didn't babysit you like Mark Hamill, though.
No, no. The worst Saturday Night Live person of all time, Victoria Jackson.
Yeah, I forget she's in that. she's a wackadoo.
She's terrible. Dr. Memento's in it.
Yeah, well, that he was a big inspiration to Weird Al.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen the Weird Al trailer for the new for his biopic?
Yeah, yeah, with Harry Potter as Weird Al.
Yes.
Okay.
It was, I mean, after seeing UHF, like, I wanted to program a UHF station. Like, I have even written up, like, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week schedule. Like, if I could program a television station of the shit I would show on TV. Because this was an awesome fucking movie back in the day.
Emo Phillips was in it.
Yes.
And, the character Philo was written for Joel Hodgson.
Oh, for Mystery Science Theater? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you would think that was kind of cool. And
yeah, because this is the year that they actually left KTLA, I think that's the right station, to go to the comedy channel that would become Comedy Central in a few years.
Well, it was called Ha first.
It was called what?
Ha.
H-A. Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
And it wasn't a bomb. It made $1.1 million.
Hey.
So, it didn't fail completely.
That was more than Twister made.
And Sylvester Stallone was supposed to be in the Rambo scene, but he decided not to at the last minute.
Oh, but it's way better with Weird Al wearing that bodysuit. The payoff on that is fucking
fantastic. Yeah, that bit and Conan the Librarian is awesome. And Wheel of Fish.
Wheel of Fish, yes.
Oh my god. You were so stupid.
That is just that is a cult classic. That is one of my favorites.
Yeah, just fantastic. And Kevin McCartney as the bad guy. Just a hilarious cult film, you know.
I actually, when I was looking through 89, like, it has a ton of cult films that came out this year. But what makes you define a cult movie?
Something that people go back and watch, and something that they tell people, oh, you have to see this. That's not super popular, you know.
Yeah, it's just something under the radar.
Under radar, has a cult following, usually was not a blockbuster or didn't make money, you know, and just... Yeah. In our day, they were midnight movies, you know?
Yeah, and if they failed in the theater, they got sold for cheap on cable, and so they'd be run constantly on cable, so you could watch them all the time. And so it may not be a perfect movie, but it was a fun and funny movie that you would watch even on repeat.
Yeah, a ton of people, ton of cult movies have made their money back on cable and video, too, you know?
Okay. I have like a few from 89 I'm going to call out if you want to tell me if you think they're cult classics or not. The Burbs.
Under radar cult classic. I think it's great, you know.
Yeah, Shelby brought that one up and I was like, yeah, I think it's a cult classic because it's not a Tom Hanks top 10. And there is a fan base that loves it just for it being the weird Joe Dante movie and not a Tom Hanks or not a Corey Feldman movie.
Yeah, but it's not as crazy as Neighbors.
Oh, yeah. But The Burbs is way better than Neighbors. Neighbors is just bad.
Yeah, pretty bad.
Penn and Teller Get Killed.
A cult movie, yeah.
Yeah, Penn and Teller fans, and plus it's rare. It's kind of like
Hard to
well,
find.
I guess I can stream it now. You can buy it, but it's not streaming for free. The movie Society, the horror movie.
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
The Shunting. You need to see it for The Shunting.
Well, what is it called? Society?
Society.
Okay, I'll add it to the list. Never heard of it.
Wait, when you get to The Shunting, you'll know why I recommended it.
The Shunting.
Teen Witch.
Never seen it.
It's just a fucking bad teen movie that has white wrapping in it. That's
okay. You sold me there.
Yes. Like if you go to YouTube and put in Teen Witch, the thing that's going to come up is the white wrapping scene, and it's so bad.
Look, I worked at Pizza Inn for a week with Vanilla Ice. So I have experience with shitbag white rappers.
I saw Vanilla Ice perform out at Lake Ray Hubbard in Rowlett in high school.
God love you.
It was like a big, I forget what the event was, but they were like, they were going to have music. It wasn't like they were promoting or saying, you know, it's Vanilla Ice. And it is Texas hot. It is Texas fucking hot. And he's in like that white suit, and he's got two backup dancers in like black, and it's like a tuxedo type suit that he would dance in, with big shoulders.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like they're all three performing asses. But dude, it was so fucking hot. It's like that suit's just gotta be soaking in sweat. You're gonna die if you're not drinking something.
Oh yeah, yeah. Just such a really cool guy.
And I got two more. The Wizard. That's the Power Glove movie.
I never saw it.
I think it's a gamer film. Yeah, and that's really
definitely a gamer film.
Harlem Nights.
I liked it because it had Red Fox in it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a bigger film with that many comedians all together at once than Harlem Nights.
Yeah, or especially black comedians too.
Yeah, I mean, because you're getting Eddie Murphy at his peak, and you're going all the way back to Red Fox.
Yeah,
I mean, just the list of comedians in that film alone is just incredible.
Yeah, I enjoyed the movie. I don't think it's a cult classic though, really. But
yeah. Okay, yeah, I know it's weird because it's like it's known, but I don't know like. I think it's more famous just for the comedians in it, and that's it. Because I don't think the movie's that got a fan base or is that great.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
But then I looked up, there's also like a lot of Gen X movies that are specific, I feel like, and I was going to ask you about these because Christian Slater also, this is the same year that Heathers came out.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like that movie's really kind of associated with our generation.
I first saw it maybe 2 months ago.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'd never seen it before.
What'd you think?
It was okay.
Fuck Me Gently with a Chainsaw? Like,
it was
very quotable and fun.
Yeah, it was okay.
And this same year, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure came out. Say Anything.
Have you seen the new Bill and Ted movie?
Yes.
Not very good.
No, it is. It's what South Park calls the member berries. You know, it's playing on the nostalgia. And if you just kind of have fun with that,
I mean,
that's what it is.
It was okay, but I would never watch it again, ever.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember quotable things from it or anything that stood out. And I would have to go back and rewatch, other than Kristen Schaal, you know, and I love her, but she took over for George Carlin. That's a big fucking thing to do.
Yeah, I guess so, but it was pretty forgettable.
Yeah. Dead Poets Society?
Not a fan of that movie too much.
Yeah.
I rewatched it recently, and
Yeah. I don't know. I guess it had a period where it came out and it was a big deal, and then for a long period it was just kind of seen as a cornball movie.
Yeah, I didn't like it that much. You know.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, good film. Tons of fun, you know.
Uncle Buck.
Great movie.
Yeah, that's like top three John Candy of all time.
A great John Hughes and Candy. Just great film.
And Do the Right Thing.
Great movie.
Great fucking movie. And I didn't realize, like, I thought Spike Lee was like a Gen X guy making the first Gen X films, but he's older. Like, he was born in 57.
Oh, yeah.
But his films are very relevant to our generation, but really to America, because like he's, you know, telling stories that nobody else is talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love Spike Lee stuff, you know.
And the last one was the big year of Batman, because it was 1989, and Michael Keaton's first take on Batman, and that was the biggest fucking thing I can remember back then.
Oh, yeah.
Those shirts were everywhere.
I remember going to see it in the theater. Just a fun time, you know?
Yeah.
I saw a bunch of stuff, but I saw the new... Power of the Rings, the Lord of the Rings show.
The Amazon series.
Pretty good.
Daniel loves it. We talked about it on my other podcast, and he was just like how great it looks. Obviously they spent money on.
Oh yeah, you can see the budget on the screen. Definitely
$58 million for an episode.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool.
That's just fucking wild, because I think about that Batgirl movie that got canceled that cost $90 million, and that was a full movie. This was one episode of a series, and it was $58 million.
They don't have Amazon money.
That's Discovery Warner Bros.
Yeah.
What was the standout thing in that show for you?
It was no spoilers. It was good to see orcs.
Yeah.
That was fun. Hobbits, you know. It was a good time.
The gang getting back together.
The main character, she's really good too.
Yeah.
You know, so I enjoyed it. You know, it was a good time. I'm looking forward to the rest of the shows. Uh-huh. You know, so that's good. And I also think it's good that... they don't do total binge anymore. They wait for the new one every week, you know. I mean, the first two came out, and then you have to wait a week so you have something to look forward to.
Yeah, I do enjoy that way they release them and that format of viewing, because that's what kind of sucks for Netflix, because like I really have enjoyed the Sandman series. But Neil Gaiman said the best way for it to get renewed is watch it all as soon as it's on. Like, the way they do their ratings at Netflix is, are people watching it as soon as it's available? And not that it has any longevity, just as soon as it's available.
Well, the Amazon, the Lord of the Rings show had 25 million watch it in 24 hours.
Damn, that's double the Game of Thrones return.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. So I watched kind of an interesting film from 1980. I've heard about it, but I've never seen it. In God We Trust.
Who's in it?
Andy Kaufman as a TV preacher.
Oh, my God. No, I've never seen this.
And, who's the guy who plays Igor in Young Frankenstein?
Marty Feldman.
So Marty Feldman directed it. And, wow. And he is playing a monk who is trying to get money for the monastery. And he is like, he ends up like... falling in love with a prostitute. And who else is in it? He was on, he was a dad in Better Loved Raymond.
Peter Boyle.
Yeah, Peter Boyle. He's a street preacher, con artist. It's, and
that's a solid fucking, I mean.
And Richard Pryor plays G.O.D., a computer who thinks he's God.
Okay, where did you watch this?
Maybe Roku, or yeah, I think it was Roku TV. So you can see it there, I think.
All right, well, I'm gonna check that out because that looks.
Yeah, yeah, it was.
Yeah, it's
fun.
On Roku for free. Yeah, yeah, Louise Lasser.
Yeah, she plays a prostitute.
Oh my God! This yeah, this should be awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I use my Letterboxd watch list, and I have it sorted by stuff I can watch for free, or stuff on my streaming channels, and then hit shuffle, and whatever pops up first is what I watch. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking for something to watch, I do that. So yeah, that was fun. And I rewatched Lost Boys. I haven't seen it in maybe 30 years or something, man.
Yeah. Anything stand out different that you remember?
Just how fun it was and really no effects, you know. I mean, yeah. The effects are them on wires.
Yeah. It's the makeup that works the best on that. Yeah. I mean, Kiefer Sutherland is a fucking epic vampire.
Oh, yeah. He's great in that. Yeah. I had a lot of fun because, like I said, it had been a ton of time before.
Have you ever watched the sequels?
No.
Oh, if you... These are...
Had no idea there were sequels.
There's two. And yeah, and they're so bad. They're not even bad good. Like you just watch them and you just are like, why am I still watching it? Because you can't make fun of it because it's like everything is bad in this scene.
And
everything is
bad. They're remaking Lost Boys.
Bad idea.
I totally
bad
agree.
Idea.
What do you think would be the worst remade film?
Worst remake, Birth of a Nation.
It's been remade. Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. Yeah, that would be really fucking bad.
Yeah, it'd be really, really, really bad.
Do you think they could ever do a sequel to that?
No.
Like, yeah.
No.
Not you. Like, never want to see because now they'd be like grandparents.
Yeah, I don't want to see it. No, thank you. So watch this movie called Carriers. Have you heard of this?
Oh, I love this movie. This
with,
is one of my
Chris Pine.
Pine.
Great,
yes.
Great film.
Great fucking movie. Like, it's really like when the pandemic hit, that was like the movie I thought about while everyone else was watching that Steven Soderbergh movie. I was like, no, Carriers was the fucked up one. Because it was like you had to have a mask on or you could die.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it. That was another one of my watch list shuffles. So that was fun.
Oh, that's a good payoff then.
Yeah.
I like that.
I watched a film called Maniac. Have you seen that?
The original or the remake?
I don't know.
I think the remake has, oh my God, Frodo Baggins.
Yeah, yeah. I watched that one.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that's a remake.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. It wasn't too bad. You know?
And that's the one they used, like, the mirror effect, right? It's a POV?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, Elijah Wood. That's
yeah, Elijah Wood as a creepy...
Maniac.
Maniac, yeah.
Go back and watch the original. I think there's like three Maniacs of the original series, and I think they start in the 70s.
Huh.
So,
never,
yeah, and I know.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Elijah Wood's a big horror fan. I think he may have a couple of specials that were on Shudder that may be on your AMC Plus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'll check it out. So I rewatched. I hadn't seen it in years. I love this film. The Road Warrior.
Oh, yeah. I love that fucking movie. I watch that every so often. Plus, you know, now it's like with Fury Road, there's like so much, and Furiosa's being filmed right now, the prequel.
Yeah. Yeah,
great. That's a great world to play in.
Yeah, I love this stuff, you know, just so much fun.
And you played the video game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fucking fun. Like, yeah, that's open world. You get to play around with cars and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Had a good time with that game. I've been watching a show called The Outlaws on Amazon. It has Christopher Walken.
All right.
And it's a BBC show on Amazon, and it's written by Stephen Merchant.
Really? From The Office?
Stephen Merchant?
Yeah, he was a co-creator of The Office Ricky Gervais.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But he's in it as an actor, and it's really, really good. It's a set in England, and
He's great, man. He was in. You saw him in Logan. He played the mutant Caliban.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm enjoying that show. Walking. I mean, he's walking. You know,
he's always fucking awesome.
Yeah,
but I can't think of a bad movie from him.
No. What's your favorite Christopher Walken movie?
I really like him in Batman Returns.
Oh, okay.
Just because he's playing a perfect Walken type character with the crazy fucking hair, Max Schreck.
Yeah.
Who's like the evil politician in Gotham. He owns shit, and he's also the reason he creates Catwoman by trying to kill Selina Kyle. Like, you know, I know more people will probably say, like, you know, the Deer Hunter.
Yeah, Deer Hunter's great, but I love The King of New York. Holy shit, love that film. Yeah. And he is awesome in that Stephen King movie too.
Which Stephen King?
They made a TV show with Anthony Michael Hall.
Oh, The Dead Zone. Yeah. Fuck, I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, which one?
Great. That's a good movie, too.
Yeah, because that's the most non-Christopher Walken type role. And you're just like, yeah, I forget he's so good in that because he's just not playing the boisterous type of character that he is. But then Martin Sheen is also great because he's playing the evil president.
Yeah, and he's awesome in Pulp Fiction. I mean... Oh
God! The monologue
is just fantastic.
How many actors after Pulp Fiction took that monologue as something that they just tried to do at an audition?
And I mean, how good is he in the movie with Christian Slater, written by Tarantino?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about True Romance. Yeah.
So good in that.
Yeah, because he has that great scene with Dennis Hopper.
Yeah, I know. Fantastic, man.
That scene is fucking wild.
Yeah, I agree. I've been watching The Outlaws. I watched Blade.
Fuck yes, Blade.
Haven't seen that in years.
I love Blade.
Great, great film. And I wanted to see it again because they're making a new one, you know.
Oh, yeah. Marshala Ali is playing Blade. And I can't wait to see what he's going to do in the Marvel. Well, I mean, he's already been in the Marvel Universe. He was in Luke Cage as Cottonmouth. But to play the anti-hero Blade, I hope they use the more recent version of Blade in the comics the way they do. Because he just is a... I mean, he's pretty much like Wesley Snipes, but it's on like another level.
So I watched Tom Cruise's The Mummy.
I'm sorry.
Man. Wow, that was bad.
Yeah, I think that's when I turned off. Like, I don't think I've made it through that film.
No, thank you. And yesterday,
no, thank you.
Yesterday, I went to the theater and saw Jaws in 3D.
Oh, that's so awesome, because I was like going, wait, is he seeing Jaws or Jaws 3?
No, Jaws
in the original.
They released it in IMAX in 3D.
That's so wild.
Oh, so, I mean, I watch it every 4th of July. I know all the words by heart. But seeing those shots with, it's so good. It's one of my favorite movies. And I finally got to see it in the theater in 3D for $3 yesterday.
I mean, it's hard to pick who's the best actor in that film.
Robert Shaw.
The speech that he gives about...
about the Indianapolis. I mean, you can't beat that. And Shaw...
No, but Roy Scheider and everything he gives, and even Richard Dreyfuss is fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Robert Shaw in... he was so good in so many films. Just fantastic actor. When he did Pelham 1-2-3.
Oh yeah.
Oh God,
he's the taking of Pelham 1-2-3.
He's so good. I mean, the original.
The original, yeah. What's odd is I love both. Like, they both stand on their own, and you don't have to see one to know anything about the other, and they're still fucking great.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I've never seen the remake, so.
It's wild because it's Denzel Washington up against John Travolta.
Oh,
and
okay.
And it's mainly on the phone, so they don't share many scenes together, and they still fucking just pull you in with them just talking. Just them being able to just go back and forth, and it pays off.
So I saw 3:10 to Yuma.
All right. Now, I love this fucking movie, man.
Great film. Just really good. I love Westerns, first of all.
Yeah.
But this was pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Ben Foster. Like, I mean, there are so many outstanding people in that movie, but Ben Foster stands out. Christian Bale, like, playing kind of a scared cowboy who's just standing up for justice.
And Peter Fonda.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Luke Wilson shows up.
So, is Russell Crowe better in this or in Gladiator?
I hate Gladiator. I walked out of Gladiator.
Oh my God, really? I
don't like that movie. It's one of those films that look, I'm an expert in Roman history. I can't see movies that don't they had Greek helmets, goddammit.
To me, it's all about Russell Crowe versus Joaquin Phoenix in that film. Everything else in that is just secondary.
Yeah, but look.
I can understand where you're coming from. When you see shit wrong, you're like.
Yeah, it takes me out of it, you know. What do they do? Greek helmets? What the fuck is going on? And not the gladiators were wearing Greek helmets. The Romans were wearing Greek helmets. I mean...
Now I'm going to watch it again and be like, I'm starting to see all this.
Yeah, no thank you.
All right. Well then...
And come on, an Oscar for that piece of... I mean, come on.
Well, what did you think of Russell Crowe in 3:10 to Yuma then?
I enjoyed him. He is awesome in Thor.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's just fucking, like, there to put on a show and just hamming it up and just everyone's eating it up because he's great.
Yeah. But I really love that film. I was extremely surprised. A lot of the new Westerns, I'm like, maybe the best new Western, or not even recent, The Unforgiven is fantastic, but...
Yeah.
Everything...
Well, Yuma's 2007.
Yeah. But I think Unforgiven is 90 or something like that.
You know? Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, but that is an awesome one. I've watched that recently.
Yeah.
92.
So what else have you been watching?
I watched Nope.
Oh, how do you like that?
I loved it. Like, the one thing that, in comparison to Jaws, was he wanted the sky to be like the water is in Jaws, so that, like, if you were just kind of out in the open, you could be pulled up. Like, it being in the open was supposed to be terrifying, and it is. Huh. It's just really unsettling. But he does a great job. It's very weird because he ties it in with a story about Steven Yeun plays a character in the show who was a kid actor who was on a show that had a live monkey.
Yeah, The Attack of the Monkey. I've heard about that.
Yeah, and Terry Notary plays the monkey, and you're like, who the fuck is that guy? He does the motion capture for Rocket in the Planet of the Apes, the Matt Reeves films. Uh-huh. And I've met him at cons. He's just a fucking awesome dude. Like he just sat there and talked to me about, like, all his work and being an ape. And because I just fucking love those new Planet of the Apes films. And when I saw Terry Notary on the screen, I was like, is there going to be, like, motion capture in here? And when I saw the ape, I was like, that's who it is. Like, it was really cool to see. And the way he plays between those memories of what Steven Yeun went through and nowadays, it's a weird commentary about, like, trauma as entertainment, you know? And, yeah, when you see it, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more, because it was very weird. Because there's, like, a moment in the film, this isn't like a big spoiler, like, because he was in this show where the monkey went crazy and did a lot of damage, he kept a lot of those things, and people seek that out and want to see, like, this horrific museum of items from, like, the day this monkey just went insane on set.
Yeah, Jordan Peele, it's real interesting how he went from being a comedian to kind of like a Odenkirk, you know?
Yeah. It's great, man. I mean, because I'm loving the movies he puts out. Like, we were talking on my other podcast, and because Daniel loves... I think he said Nope is his favorite, but, like, I love Us. Like, yeah, that one Us really, that one really fucks with you. I love that moment where the whole family is outside their house staring at their doppelgangers, and I'm just like, oh, this is fucked up.
Yeah,
like he plays on horror tropes, but he gives you stuff you've never seen before.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure I'll get it from the library when it comes out.
This is one thing I'll say, because of having to watch films at home. I wish I could have seen this in the theater, because it plays out. There are moments that are huge and cinematic, and then there are moments of real claustrophobic terror.
So this is my theater. Check this out.
Oh, shit.
So, on my desk, I have a 43-inch TV just right next to my face.
My then that theater. Would be cinematic for you. Yeah. I watched
right
this on my
here.
I have, like, a TV, and then I have a monitor. Oh, your camera's going.
Yeah,
it's twitching.
Yeah, it stopped.
Oh, there it goes. Yeah, like, I have a TV as a monitor for one of my computers, and then I have a monitor and a laptop to just game and stream on. And, yeah, I could have probably watched on here, and I would have been a lot closer, and it might have paid off better than watching it in my living room. But I have better sound in there. I have a nice sound bar and stuff.
Yeah, I have a sound bar right in front of my face.
Holy shit, dude. Nice. Do we want to go into the Kyle segment of the show and let him know what Nick Cage was doing in 1989?
Well, first I saw the Northman again yesterday. Just love that film. Love all Robert Eggers stuff, man. Just
I don't like the
Lighthouse.
I hate the Lighthouse.
I love the Lighthouse. That's just me. I mean, The Witch is so good.
Yeah, The Witch is fucking fantastic. For my birthday, my stepson Spencer got me the steelbook of that, and it just, like, that is probably one of the best witch films, at least in the past 20 years. I'm trying to think of, like, one that really stands out, but it's just done so well.
Oh, yeah. He is definitely a craftsman, you know.
Yeah, Anya Taylor-Joy nails that, and it's weird because she's like, I think, 21 in that film, and just,
I think, like, she might be even younger in that film.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. Like a teenager.
Oh, well, she gets nude in it, so I hope not.
maybe 18, you know.
Okay, yeah.
But she was young.
Yeah, she's fantastic, man. She's the young Furiosa in the Mad Max movie.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's gonna be good.
George Miller using her right, and I still haven't seen Last Night in Soho. That's the one of her films I haven't seen yet.
Do you have access to it?
Yeah, it's on HBO Max.
Oh, okay.
Because I love Edgar Wright, but it's like, I don't know why it's been. I think it's probably one of those because both Shelby wants to, and I want to see it, so we have to wait till we're both ready to sit down and watch.
Well, if you need it, I have a copy. So.
Oh. All
right. Yeah, The Northman, just total fun. Okay, your Kyle moment.
Kyle, we just want to let you know, in 1989, Nick Cage made two movies. One he wasn't credited in, and the other one is called Time to Kill, and it was like an Italian film. Like, he didn't make an American movie this year. I was like, what the fuck? This is weird.
What was the other one?
Never on Tuesday.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, exactly. And then I decided to also start updating Bruce Willis, because Bruce Willis is coming off Die Hard, and I didn't realize that his next movie, he would go and do In Country, which was like a serious dramatic film about Vietnam. He's like a Vietnam vet with, like, PTSD.
Never heard of it.
Yeah. I think it was like his Born on the 4th of July, you know, he was trying to be this serious actor, but it, you know, I don't know, man. I don't want to see a fucking movie about that. It just looks like a bummer the whole fucking way through.
Yeah.
And he did Look Who's Talking.
Oh God.
I know. He went, before he even does Die Hard 2, he's voicing a baby in Look Who's Talking. And this is the same year that Moonlighting got canceled. So,
man, I saw Look Who's Talking in the theater.
Me too.
I regret it to this day.
The weirdest film I saw in the theater when I was scrolling through 1989 was another John Travolta movie called The Experts. Do you remember this movie?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a movie that he and his wife got together in.
Yep. Yep.
Kelly Preston.
Kelly Preston. Yeah. The late Kelly Preston.
Man, Kelly Preston. Did you ever see what movie was that?
Was she in Perfect?
No, not Perfect.
No. She was in Jerry Maguire at the beginning. She's Jerry Maguire's girlfriend.
Yeah. That film. But before that, it was
Space Camp.
No, it was this movie. They used to play it on HBO where she has this nude scene that, holy shit, she plays this blonde.
Well, isn't that what she always plays? A blonde hot chick?
Yeah, but like total blonde, like a Marilyn Monroe blonde.
Oh, that type. And what year?
Maybe 88, 89, something like that, 87.
Okay, let me look this one up.
I mean, it was like a teen comedy.
After Space Camp, she did 52 Pickup, Love at Stake, A Tiger's Tale, Amazon Women on the Moon, Spellbinder. She was in Twins.
Okay, before Space Camp.
Secret Admirer, Mischief?
Mischief,
yeah.
Okay, yeah. Oh, man, I used to, you know,
to Wax that, the Dolphin?
Yeah, to, yeah. Interrogate the prisoner to that movie.
That, oh my God, Doug McKeon, or, yeah, Chris Nash, or, Catherine Mary Stewart.
I or rough up the the suspect.
Yeah, the board.
Yeah, back when I had my beta in my room.
I'm trying to think who did I wax the board to back in the day? I would definitely say
Phoebe Cates.
Phoebe Cates, yeah. I think everyone had their Phoebe Cates moment. Leah Thompson, for sure. Uh-huh. God damn, who was I had a thing for Debbie Gibson. Like that, I loved blondes back then.
Oh, how Christian of you.
Debbie Gibson was, I dug Debbie Gibson.
Look, I was more of a Samantha Fox guy.
Oh, yes. Yes. She was smoking.
Oh, yeah.
And then, oh my God, who was that sung the duet with Ozzy Osbourne? Lita Ford. Lita Ford.
I saw Lita open up for Ozzy.
Oh.
Or maybe Motley Crue. I think she opened for a Motley Crue. Yeah.
And then...
was she hot in the Runaways back in the day?
Oh, my God, yeah. That was before she went solo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm just looking at all these Kelly Preston films. I'm like, I forgot she was in this. She was in 10 to Midnight. That was like her premiere film.
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Battlefield
Earth. I want to know who's waxing the dolphin to anyone in Battlefield Earth.
Nope. next week we're going to talk about 1990. What do you want to talk about?
I'm continuing my Christian Slater marathon with a movie I owned because I fucking loved this when it came out. Pump Up the Volume.
Oh, yeah. Love it. It made me want to get into podcasting.
Yeah, and I was like, I watched this movie. I was like, yeah, man, fight the power. And it's like, what do I do when I get on podcasting? Talk about what I was masturbating to.
Yeah, buddy. So I want to talk about a film that fucked me up from 1990.
Yeah.
Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, that's a good one. Oh, they remade that.
Yeah.
You know there's a remake of that?
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, because Tim Robbins, that's like...
Perfect.
I remember watching that movie and just walking out so fucked up just thinking about that for the longest time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I still have nightmares about that fucking movie.
God, I've had so many nightmares lately. I was like, maybe I could revisit it, but no, I think that would fuck with my sleep too much.
Yeah, definitely not a film to watch on acid.
No. Just stick with you.
And I'll watch Exorcist 3 on acid.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those performances are fantastic, but there's something in Jacob's Ladder that is...
It's...
Every part of the editing, directing... cinematography that comes together to give you a nightmare.
Total mindfuck. Okay, so we'll talk to everybody again next week on the show.
See ya.
Bye.